As you may or may not have heard me mention, we are here in the Seacrest Studios at Chalk Hospital in Orange County. It is Chalk Week on Angels Radio AM 830. They are having Chalk Night out at the stadium on Saturday as well. If you'd like to buy tickets for that, you can go to angels.com/chalk to purchase tickets. I'm joined right now by Dr. Sharif Taraman, who is a pediatric neurologist here at the hospital. And his interests include, and I got to say this, doctor, neuroimmunology. That sounds very complicated. What is that exactly?
So that's when the body's immune system kind of goes haywire and starts attacking your nervous system.
So I would imagine that that's something that me talking about guys playing football and baseball, I'm probably not qualified to diagnose somebody with something in neuroimmunology.
No, but we do get players that sometimes come in with MS or multiple sclerosis. So, you know, there are conditions that do affect some of those guys, but...
Good deal. So let's talk a little bit about this. And you and I were having a little bit of a conversation during the break. We were talking a little bit about football. And, you know, one of the hottest topics in not just the NFL and not just college football, and not even just high school football, but all the way down into the Pop Warner leagues is concussion and players getting concussed and the long-term effects of concussion. How often are you seeing somebody come in as the result of a football, a hockey injury, a head-related, a concussion injury due to sports?
You know, we have a concussion clinic here at Chalk. It's in a multidisciplinary clinic, so we have a lot of different people that help with that clinic. But it's actually very common. It's a very common finding. You know, there's a huge number of concussions per year. We're looking at probably around 1.5 to 4 million in the United States. So that's a lot of concussions. And sports are big in Orange County. There's a lot of people playing sports in Orange County, which is great. But there are risks associated with them.
Are there more concussions than there used to be, or are we just better at diagnosing them?
I think there's a better awareness, but we have to be a little bit cautious, and we were talking about that before we went on the air, is that we don't want to cause mass hysteria. We don't want people going, well, I think I have a concussion, but there's no hit, there was no injury. But in the same time, we don't want people ignoring that they had a hit. And I think that was a lot of the problem. You know, it was suck it up, tough it out. You was a bell ringer, you got your bell rung, whatever. Just go back in the game when you feel like it. And we're trying to discourage that.
We're talking with Dr. Sharif Taraman here at Chalk Hospital. Is there a way, and especially you see what the NFL is trying to do, and they're trying to make sure that players don't lead with their head. They're trying to make sure that they don't target the opposing player's head when they deliver a blow. Is there a way to play that game safely with regards to your head? I mean, understand that there are going to be orthopedic injuries when a collision sport like that. I think everybody understands that. Is there a way to have a game like that where bodies that size are traveling at that speed and not have damage to the head?
I think it's monitoring is the first step before we start changing the rules of the game necessarily. And I think there's a lot of people that are pushing to say, okay, well, how do you remove the contact out of football? But I think that football, the nature of that sport is there is contact. I think that that we're going to look and we're going to start seeing, like, we have pitch counts in Little League, right? So we're worried about injuring your elbow, your shoulder. In the same way, I think we need to be doing things like hit counts. And, you know, there's new helmets that are coming out that have what we call accelerometers. So those are what's in your phone that tells you whether you know, where your phone is in space. And we can actually measure the amount of force that's being delivered in any given hit or how many hits you had. And I think as we get that information, then we can at least monitor better and say, oh, hey, you know what? You know, you're at risk. You've taken too many hits. Maybe you need to sit out this season. Maybe you need to sit out this game.
If you've taken too many hits, if you're getting to the point that you're talking about where, you know, it's measurable and you say, okay, this is an area where we're uncomfortable with, can you stop and will you get healthy and you can return again? Or once it's there and there's no going back?
The great thing about concussions is even though they're a traumatic brain injury, they're what we call a mild traumatic brain injury, which means that if you give it some time, you give it some rest, you do the right things, you're going to get better. Invariably, you will get better. That's the definition of a concussion. If you're not getting better, you're really a moderate or more severe traumatic brain injury. The challenge that we have is that, so if you take each concussion, it's an isolated event, you get better, you go back, you're probably okay. That's the best that we know right now. We don't fully understand everything. But we know that people like, I mean, Lou Gehrig is a perfect example, mm-hmm. right? So people think about concussions and they say, oh, it's my head, right? But Lou Gehrig, he had what we call Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And what that is he basically probably took too many hits to his spinal cord that he didn't damage the motor neurons or the nerves that control the muscles of the body. So we know that at some point, if you take those too many hits back to back to back and you haven't taken breaks in between, then it is irreversible. And that's what we're trying to prevent in the NFL and in sort of professional sporting event.
Is there an age where you go from being, you know, a child to an adolescent to an adult where you become more susceptible to them? Or is it more dangerous to get a concussion when you're 15 than it is at 25 or 35, or is it all the same?
The younger you are, the worse it is. So, you know, the brain's developing. So you can imagine, right? There's all this stuff that you're learning. Your brain's not really solidified in the way it should be. And so, and there's a process called myelination. That's like a special fat that gets laid down on the brain that kind of protects it, you know, solidifies it. And all that's happening as you're growing up. So you can imagine if we got kids playing Pop Warner and they're taking hits, right? That's probably not good on the brain. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was at a concussion conference in Boston, who's one of the leaders in concussion care. And they surveyed the audience. They said, okay, how many hits is too many in Pop Warner? You know,
right.
I mean, what is there a magic number? Is one too many? So I think we're still getting that in, as a community, as a culture, as a medical community, saying where are the cutoffs? And we're learning that because of this awareness that's coming about.
We're speaking with Dr. Sharif Terriman here at Chalk Hospital in Orange County, where he is a pediatric neurologist. I've seen a lot of specials on this. I've had Chris Nowinski on my show, who's done a lot of research in this, and he's kind of the front man for the entire, you know, movement at this point. And the thing that always kind of struck me about this was that it's not just those knockout hits that you see on TV. It's not the guy coming across the middle who gets blown up by a linebacker who's unconscious on the field. It's the, what I think this is right, the subconcussive hits that are happening on every play, at every practice, over and over again, that those might in fact be maybe not as damaging, but significant in when it comes to long-term brain injury.
Again, that is true. It's this repetitive, maybe smaller, but I wouldn't call them subconcussive. They're just more mild. And, you know, people will get misconceptions, right? They think, yeah, you got to lose consciousness to have a concussion,
right?
It's not. Only maybe about 10% of concussions actually have loss of consciousness. But if you get a hit, and it doesn't have to be a direct hit, you know, you could just get body checked, right? You could be sliding into first base, and if you do that wrong and the guy falls on top of you, you don't hit your head, but you still have a concussion if you're feeling dizzy, your headache, your lights are bothering you. That night you can't sleep right.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting irritable and emotional. I mean, all of those things are signs and symptoms of a concussion, but loss of consciousness is not necessary, but can happen.
Is one person more susceptible than another? For instance, if you might be able to take the same blow to the head that I am, that you're going to be okay and I'm not?
It's very variable, and that's the interesting thing about concussions. I have kids who get hit by like a truck, literally. They're in the street, a truck hits them, throws them, and they're fine. I mean, like, you know, they have symptoms. It takes them a while to recover. But, you know, the recovery period is maybe like 2 weeks. I have a kid who, you know, gets tackled, didn't lose consciousness, didn't seem like a big hit. Even the athletic trainer didn't really think it was a concussion, but they're being safe. So they sit them out. They come see me, and it's like weeks and weeks and weeks of, you know, symptoms. And so everybody's a little bit different. There are definitely certain people that I have a higher risk. We know that girls have a higher risk. So if you take girls sports, for example, girls soccer versus boys soccer, there is a huge discrepancy. Girls soccer has a much higher concussion rate.
Is it an anatomical thing?
There's some thought that it may be the way that the neck muscles are formed and the way that they're sort of moving those forces from their brain to the rest of the body is different. And so that maybe boys or males are a little bit less likely. But you know, I don't know if you've seen a girls' soccer game, but they're
rough.
They're hardcore. They're,
yeah.
You know. So there are definitely differences in gender potentially, and even between players. You know, two guys can get the exact same hit. They look exactly the same. They have the same body build, but one goes on to have symptoms, you know, months. The other one is better in a couple of days and can go back in a week.
We're speaking with Dr. Sharif Terriman here from Chalk Hospital in Orange County, where he is a pediatric neurologist. Does football get a bad rap? It seems like it's gone from where, you know, we're all football fans to one degree or another. Almost nobody has no interest in it. It seems to me that it's like there's a boogeyman out there right now that if you play football, you're going to get concussions, you're going to get brain damaged, and you're going to have a miserable life. Is that unfair? Is it a lot of scare tactics going on?
There's a little bit of that, but there's definitely a concern. I mean, so if you look at like the way that we kind of rank sports is we call a per athletic exposure. So that's a practice, a game. And so if you take 100,000 athletic exposures, you're looking at about 100 concussions or traumatic brain injuries in 100,000 football exposures.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a significant amount of risks to play. And so, you know, you ask me, would I let my kids play football?
Right.
I got two girls, so I don't have to worry about it. You know? But I told you, I never played football. I don't have the body for it. Well, especially now, I put on a couple pounds.
Not me. I've always looked this good. No, I'm fine.
But no, I mean, so you have to kind of weigh the risks and benefits. And, you know, we're always looking at after you get a concussion, you know, is it time to retire? Is it really worth, you know, what, you know, maybe there's another sport that you can play and you don't necessarily need to get a concussion. And we're always kind of thinking about when do you retire from a sport, even as a high school student or, you know, even younger.
Or their concussion. I mean, obviously football, you think of hockey, you think of boxing, you think of things that make a lot of sense that you're getting your head knocked around, you're going to get hurt. But could it happen? I mean, if you're on the soccer team, if you're on the baseball team, the basketball team, could it happen anywhere?
It can happen anywhere. I've had some very strange ones. You know, diving is only 1 in 100,000, but I've had probably 3 or 4 diving accidents this season coming in for concussions.
Just from striking the water?
No, it's usually someone jumping on top of them in the water. Yeah, not. I mean, but I guess theoretically, I mean, if you're high up enough and you hit the water the wrong way, you could get a concussion.
So the million-dollar question: if you had sons and you know what you know, I mean, you're a neurologist, would you let them play football?
I think we'd have a very long talk about what are the pros and cons of doing that. And again, you know, and this is how I look at my patients. I tell me, look, are you going to get a scholarship? You know. Is this your ticket to college? You know, are you going to be an NFL pro player? And then what are the risks and what are you really going to get out of this? And if they're fine with it and they understand, I think it's reasonable. And, you know, I have a lot of kids. So I think the answer is yes, I would let them play. But you have to have that pre, you know, how's it going? How are you doing?
We're speaking with Dr. Sharif Terriman from Chalk Hospital here. And last question before I let you go. Is there an equipment answer to this problem? Is there a way to design a helmet that's going to be better suited to prevent concussion? Or at the end of the day, if you're hitting things with your head, you're going to be at risk.
You know, the helmets came in really to prevent skull fractures, because that was the big problem before helmets came into play, is all these guys were hitting, you know, getting helmet or head-to-head contact and getting skull fractures. And the problem is the helmets don't fix the concussion problem. There's a lot of them on the market. They're all claiming to be the best, and they're going to fix the problem, but we really don't have any good data for that. I think hit counts is the next step, and then we may need to look at modifying the way that, at least at the non-pro level, how we play. I think if you're a pro player, you know, if you understand the risks and that's really what you want to do, I think that's a little bit of a different story, but at the high school level, college level, for sure there needs to be some changes.
Use your crystal ball. Tell me what football is going to look like in 50 years. Are we going to see guys that, I mean, you hear this all the time, and this just seems crazy. Take the helmets off, that if they don't have a weapon on their head, they're going to be much less likely to lead with the top of their head. I mean, what are we going to look at, flag football? Are we going to look at something totally different than what we see right now?
Taking off the helmets, I think you're going to end up getting skull fractures. I don't necessarily think that flag football is going to be well-received.
Right.
But you know, I mean, football may become more like a rugby type sport. I mean, in some sense, I mean, rugby, you have like a soft helmet, you know, type thing. So it may become a little bit less of, I'm going to run and go really fast to this guy, and maybe more of like a pushing and pulling of a ball down the field. So we'll see.
That is Dr. Sharif Terriman. He is a pediatric neurologist here at Chalk Children's Hospital in Orange County. We are here today. We're going to be talking about this stuff all week long on Chalk Week here on Angels Radio AM 830. Doc, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much
for having me.
All right, you got it. All right, we got a lot more to get to through the course of the program today. Don't forget, it is a 2 for Tuesday, which means you have a chance to win a pair of Angels tickets to an upcoming game. Text the words AM 830 and 2. TWO, AM 830 and 2TWO to 50352 for your chance to win. Your standard text messaging rates can apply. And, of course, you can get tickets at angels.com. We got lots to get to, including Dancing with the Stars, Bill Engvall, later on today. Don't move. We're coming right back.